This week's broadcast was a previously aired interview with Claudia Fletcher. Claudia has recently experienced a serious medical event, and we feel the importance of resharing her life and passion.
Allison?
Yes?
We're wearing the same clothes.
Oh, that's so cringy.
I know. But it's because this is part two of a two-part series, would you say?
Yes, yes.
So we had so much to talk to Claudia Fletcher about that we turned it into two episodes. Last week's episode was talking about her personal experience with adopting her 12 children, among other things. And this week is about her role with Care Portal and her role with 518 and all the ways that that intersects and kind of helps facilitate her personal needs and professional desires.
It's very complimentary of what she needs as a person. And Claudia's personality is so interesting. She talks about being a galvanizer, I would say activator and catalyst.
And stand-up comedian.
Yes, that too. Make sure that you have tuned in to the episode with the Care Portal founder, Adrienne Lewis, because this one's jumping in to really talk about Care Portal in Virginia in action. And if you don't have that history, you may not understand it fully.
We hope you enjoy.
I think people think have this idea that if you're going to deal with orphans, however they're defined, you have to be called to do it. Otherwise, you don't. But Adam, who works at Impact Living Services, he says we're already called. Like there is no there is no special calling for this. It's all from Scripture. We're all called to do this if we're Christians. So I think the question is, how do I do it? And how do I find out how to do it? And where do I go to find out? So I mentioned earlier my point person role at Care Portal. And Care Portal, for people who don't know what it is, it's a connecting technology platform that drives action for children and families. And it connects the local church with these kind of people that we're talking about. Who are the kids in the school that need something, but also need a relationship? Lynchburg City Schools, Bedford County Schools are in Care Portal, and they can put a request in that said this kid needs new tennis shoes if he wants to play basketball this year. And a church can find out that, and they can take this kid shopping, and they can buy him tennis shoes, and they can get to know him. So it's the little things in the space that people can start doing. And a lot of times what happens with that is that they realize that it's not as scary as they thought it was, and that maybe teenage foster kids are scary until, wait a minute, I just took one shopping and he wasn't scary. I like him. I could invite him to live with me. And it changes their attitude. And sometimes it never goes there, but it stays where it is, which is I'm going to develop some relationships.
How did you get involved with Care Portal? And I can only imagine 5 years ago when you hear about it and what your reaction was, and Claudia time, Claudia speed. Man. So tell us how it started, because we know how it's going. So tell us how it started.
So one of our board members invited somebody from Liberty to come to our gala. And when Liberty was one of the football team was the first community champion nationally for Care Portal. And so they asked the people at Liberty to find a nonprofit that might be willing to do this. And this guy that works at Liberty said, I think that maybe Patrick Henry Family Services would be the right fit for this. And so they set up a meeting, and I heard about it. And like 7 minutes into the pitch, I was all over it. Because, see, we had Vision 30 with no Care Portal. And our big idea was the only way that Vision 30 is going to happen is if people in churches find a way to meet people who are in crisis, families who are in crisis or who are in stress, and connect them to that space. And we had no idea how we were going to do
it. Up the river. Yeah. When you think about it, Care Portal is taking you up the river, maybe before there's a crisis.
Some of the requests are that way. And some of them are post-crisis, like kids aging out of the system that need support. But so we found out about this in September. And
September of what year?
2019.
Okay. Pretty big year.
Yeah. And I was like, that year I was like, okay, what do I have to do? What do we have to do? They said, well, you have to come to Kansas City and spend a day with us before we decide that you're a good partner. And our next one's in December. I was like, oh,
that's not going to work.
I wanted this done yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I already signed my church up in the system, I think, before we even had a program here. So we went down. So Patrick, Dave, and I went. It was that fall. And we sat and we thought, this is the most amazing thing, because during that day, there were so many things that Vision 30 was doing that it was as if we had read the same playbook and didn't know it. So part of Vision 30 at the beginning, we had circles where the child was inside a church, inside a community. We get down there, that's their circles of care portal circles, just like that. Exactly what we started with Vision 30.
Concentric circles.
Yes, concentric. I didn't use the word because I'm not like that. But
she used amygdala earlier.
I did use amygdala.
Remember, she sat at the cool table in college for most of college. She graduated from the nerd table.
Barb was over at the nerd table using concentric circles.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry.
I was over there like, slay. Except for we didn't say that then, but I was whatever the cool people said.
She fit it in. Yes, she did it.
So we're there, we're hearing that. Then they say, we recommend that everybody get together for what we call the active community gathering. And we're like, oh my gosh, we have a gathering every month. And
they used the word gathering.
Yeah, the gathering. It's still part of their language. And they talked about, they didn't say the word upstream, but the idea of foster care being ground zero, everything that happens when kids age out. We need to tackle the foster care crisis. We can do that with prevention. Everything they were saying, it was like, oh my gosh, God told you to build this technology for us 5 years ago, and here it is. And we were super, super excited. And so they told us it usually takes about 6 months to get everything going. And so we came back on December.
And Claudia Fletcher said, hold my iced tea.
And I was like, So we launched Care Portal in Roanoke full force on February 19th. So we got back on December 6th, and by February 19th, we had
2020. That's important.
Yeah. And we had over 100 people. We had the news there. We had a great time. It was the best launch ever. The team at the time had great snacks, and we had lots of people there, lots of churches. We met the first request together. Every TV station was there, everything. And then 3 weeks later, the whole country shuts down.
Mm-hmm.
So we launched Bedford County virtually, which was weak, but we wanted to get them going. They wanted to start putting requests in. So March of 2020, we launched them virtually because we had planned an in-person launch. And then Lynchburg started putting requests in in June, and then Amherst in October. And then we just started. So it's just continued to spread. But No, we were told that you're going to be at least 6 months before you're going to be ready to go. And I'm like, not us. Mm-mm.
And it's such God's providence that it was you, because if it hadn't been you and it had taken 6 months, at that point, you are in the thick of the pandemic.
Right.
People like you had the benefit as you were like trying to get this going that you didn't know what was going to happen.
Right.
But if it had been, in the thick of it, once people already knew what they knew, we still might not have Care Portal.
I would have figured out a way, but it certainly.
If it weren't you.
You would have.
Yeah, I would have. But
you're a catalyst.
Yeah.
Thank you. I think that's good. But I also, it's very annoying to a lot of people, just putting that out there.
You challenge people.
They don't like it. But anyway, it was super cool. So on February 13th in Roanoke, we're celebrating 5 years. The first person in Lynch or in the state to be brave enough as DSS to sign the contract was Steve Martin, is his name. And speaking of cheaper,
huge fan.
And he's now retired, but he's going to come back for the 5-year reunion. He's still connected to the foster adoption community over there. And we're going to have him there to speak. And we're going to have a few of the families we've served. And I'm going to speak. And we're going to celebrate the thousands of kids that have been served in 5 years in Roanoke. So
that's
we're
amazing.
Excited about that. We're also going to celebrate at the gathering here in Lynchburg, the 5-year mark for Care Portal being part of Virginia. We're now spread across the state. We're in 35 municipalities.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting ready to launch about 7 or 8 more in the next year. So it's pretty exciting.
Wow. So we last week got to meet and talk with Adrian Lewis, who you got us connected with. He's the founder of Care Portal. And before we even started the interview, he was like, man, I wish Claudia was here. He was upset that you weren't there to talk with us.
He wanted to give me crap, probably.
Probably. Yeah. But he was like, man, that woman, she gets things done.
He's a great galvanizer. He's a great public speaker. He's super motivating. He wrote his own spoken word. Which I can give you guys a link to see it. He did it at Fellowship Community Church in Salem at the end of his sermon a couple months ago. And it's just amazing. It's based on Matthew 25. It's just, I've heard him do it probably 5 or 6 times. And it just is so moving and so powerful. He's also an Enneagram 7. So he is a lover of people, a lover of fun. He keeps things light. But here's a little tidbit. He loves to food share.
I think this story is hilarious.
Why?
Because I want to be like him.
Well, he will go around and ask people, like walk around, and if he sees something like off their plate, he wants to have some. Like he just, so we kind of know that.
I want
now.
A bite.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Can I kind of love
fries?
That.
I do too.
So here's your, you know, your founder and CEO of this now 180 employee company that's grown massively. The first time I was in a leadership meeting, I think there were probably less than 20 full-time employees, and that was in 2021. So we're 4 years later, they're like 180 employees, huge budget, lots going on everywhere. And yet when we hang out as leadership, he's walking around saying, hey, that looks like a really good, you know, sweet potato fry. Mind if I try that? And he's picking off people's plates.
Can I have a sip of your soda?
Yeah. He's like, I don't know if he sips sodas, but so he's just really personal like that, really personable.
What has that network done for you? Because you moved from Minnesota to Virginia. You've lived all over. What has finding, we just finished reading a book called Find Your People. What has finding Care Portal done to you or done for you?
Well, a couple of things. One is that Adrian likes fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I have freedom to be fast as I can be. And that is not the season we're in at 518. So it's given me a place where I can put some energy. That's why I don't drive y'all crazy. Because I have a new idea every day before breakfast, like a new idea. And I have to like not tell people about it because it overwhelms them. But with Care Portal, if I have a new idea, I can go make it happen somewhere else. And it's not bothering the people around me.
You can actually pilot it
right,
in your role and see if it works.
Yeah. So I like that piece. I definitely love being in a room with people who share my passion.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the finest people I know work there, but they also think that I'm really hilarious. And I was allowed to do stand up for one year.
Yes.
And so now the tradition when we get together is that everybody who's new has to hear Claudia's stories, because somebody will say, oh, you've got to tell this one story. And then I will. And
you're ingrained in the culture.
Yeah. But they exhaust me as well, because they're all young and really spunky. But I always come back saying, I love going to people to see people at Care Portal because they love me so much. And my husband says 2 words: limited exposure.
I love Bart. Allison and I are excited to talk to you about our very first sponsor of the Mended Futures podcast, Mission House Coffee.
Mission House is locally owned, and their goal is to be a place that is known for delicious coffee, obviously, food and baked goods, and beloved care and acceptance they show to the people that they serve.
They also have their own coffee distributor called Mission House Roasters, where you can order their signature blends online and start brewing your own Mission House coffee right in your home.
One of my favorite things about Mission House and the name Mission is they have a pay it forward board where you can purchase something for someone else in the community and leave a nice note, an affirmation, or you can go to the board and pick something that applies to you. So it's a way to serve your neighbors and show love to people that we don't even know.
Mm-hmm. So come on down to Mission House Coffee and experience a place where you feel an abundant sense of love and acceptance from their staff and the community they serve.
I wanted to go back to something that you said kind of in passing, that Care Portal is fast and they like fast, but 518 is not in a fast season. So talk about the different worlds. So Care Portal is new. It's growing exponentially. It's experimental. Where is 518?
Well, I think that, let me say this, Care Portal is no longer going that fast because they've had to slow down to scale. But individually, you can go fast if you find the right people. There's nothing that's going to slow it down because it's always new ground. Like, you're always pioneering. And that's Five Voices. I'm a pioneer. Mm-hmm. Like, the next thing, you can always tackle the next thing. But 518, we can't be in that stage perpetually. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Day has been leading us for 15 years almost at that kind of warp speed of change. And eventually, any organization that has that much change has to slow down and perfect its procedures and perfect its systems and, you know, protect and guide culture and all the things that to a galvanizing innovator make me want to snore. Mm-hmm.
But I think you have to appreciate the pioneering season. So for those of you listening, Patrick Henry Family Services was a group home mainstay in Virginia. And over the last 10 years, you've transitioned from family style group homes for children. Now you've implemented counseling to reconcile families, but also counseling to prevent the crisis or to intervene while there's a crisis to keep kids safe in their own families. You've got programs around family care, and you pioneered in the kinship area and the, you know, so you've been pioneering. Last year, there was a rebrand. Very recently, there was a big announcement. So after that big announcement, I think you're in the point where you're going to slow down a little bit. Does anybody want to acknowledge what the big announcement was?
Oh, yeah. We bought a building, a big okay. building. That's going to be, our intention is that to have that be like a community empowerment center where we're going to help other nonprofits serve our community, and we're going to have lots of cool things happening. So we're deciding how many cool things we can do with that building and doing some exploring, but we're excited about that piece. And I think there, I certainly am not ever, I had an opportunity to leave at 518 to take on my role at Care Portal. And I said, no way, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay here and I want to do both as long as I can. Mm-hmm. Because I think even in a season like this, there needs to be somebody mm-hmm. that's saying, okay, let's go a little bit farther. But I think the reason that I said Care Portal's kind of helped me personally is that I'm not going to disrupt things here because I am kind of a disruptor that are going smoothly just because I get restless. And Care Portal, kind of my personality, keeps me occupied with things that I'm not going to be disturbing the solidifying that we need to do. And the deep thinking, I mean, figuring out exactly what we want in that building and how to make it happen and getting it done is not my skill set at all. Mm-hmm. I can cheer from the sidelines. I can do what I'm asked, but that's not something, a space that I'm going to get pulled into right now here. And so being able to do both just helps me not distract from what we need to have happen, because I'm able to do things with Care Portal. And Care Portal is essential to everything that we're doing. It's the technology that we're using for Vision 30. So it's not outside of the realm of my job here either.
Mm-hmm. And it will definitely, I think Care Portal will be a tool used through the new building to further Vision 30, and could be a meeting place for Care Portal requests. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's so many opportunities for the new 518 headquarters. And for those of you who don't know the history, this is a consolidation of, you know, regional property where there were services all over the region here in Virginia. Now there's going to be a hub for the community in Lynchburg with all the employees able to work there. You haven't had employees under the same roof
in right, for a long time.
A long, long time. So it's going to be a reconciliation in some ways for employees, for services, an opportunity for the community to be in and out of the building on a regular basis. So I think we're excited. It's going to be a while, though. When you think about construction and moving in, what does Claudia Speed think about the timeline? No comment.
Well, I'm not going to spend my time thinking about the timeline because I'm going to keep myself busy with other things, because it's just those kind of things that take forever. There are people who are so good at the things that take forever, and we need them. And I need them to take my, first draft and make it better. We need each other to do that. And I'm very grateful that there are people who are doing that, but they're not going to invite me into that very often because they know it's just, I'm not going to be that helpful, and I'm fine not being involved with them because it's not going to be energizing for me. So I think it's a good thing that I'm preoccupied with other things at this point.
Yeah, SLT has established a good balance of everyone's strengths and weaknesses.
You are reading my mind. Talk about SLT.
Okay, so the senior leadership team, that's what SLT stands for, was really started being called SLT when Jeff came, because he's kind of the king of acronyms and he loves them.
He certainly is.
Before that, we met, but we didn't call it anything. But now we're the SLT. And so it's Mr. Day. Been here the longest, 15 years. Then I came 9 years ago. And we had two other chief officers at that time who have since gone. And then Jeff came about a year and a half after I did. Before that, Jim came as the head of Hope for Tomorrow, which was Heart Counseling. Now it's 518 Counseling. And eventually, 3 years ago, became the chief strategy officer, and Jeff's our COO. I call them the three wise men, the three wise guys, the three stooges, depending on the day. But those are the four of us are the team. Senior means that we are at executive level, not that we're all old, even though we probably are all getting the discount now. So maybe Jeff, who pretends that he's not old, even though he's older than me. But the thing that is so cool about us is that we are very, very different. Mm-hmm. We have very different skill sets. And yet we do not decide anything unless we all agree with it. Mm-hmm. And so that's the decision Mr. Day made several years ago. And he has kept to it that we will not move forward unless we all agree. We have some lengthy meetings. We have some interesting conversations. But when we walk out, we're all okay with the final decisions that we make, which I think is unusual. I think another thing that makes us unusual is that I use the phrase, trust the heart. Like, we trust each other's heart. Mm-hmm. There's probably not very many people in the world more different than Jeff and I, and he knows that, and yeah. I do too.
I was just getting ready to say, can you talk about the verb that you've created about Jeff's last name?
Yeah. So if you have a project, and you present it, we have to ask, has it been nitzed? Because he has a fine tooth comb approach to everything, and he has all the questions. The man has more questions than I will ever come up with in my life.
He's about great everything. At poking holes for the sake of making something as good as it can be.
Yes, and he is so good at that. And yet, when I'm trying to get things done fast, the last thing I need, and Mr. Day is a fast too, so it's a great balance. Mr. Day and I are fast idea people, get things done, let's go. Jim is very strategic, very thorough, and Jeff is very, let's make this as perfect as we can. We want to do things with excellence. Mm-hmm. And you put all that together, and Jeff and I are extroverts. Jim and Mr. Day are introverts. And so there's that dynamic. For a while there, it was almost a habit for Mr. Day to like throw a question out. And then he knew Jeff and I were just going to go at it. So it was like he almost brought popcorn and just like it was a show for him. But when we're all done, I think we feel good about that. And we can call each other on stuff. We can say, hey, you kind of were a little, I guess they probably have to say this more than I have to say it to them. But Claudia, I think you stepped over the line when you said this at this point. Or, maybe you shouldn't have gone that far. And there's lots of times where I have to be confronted by them. But I think what we do is when I look at them, I may not understand their methodology or appreciate their personalities at all times, but I never doubt their heart that it's for the best for me, the best for the organization, the best for our clients, the best for our community. Like, I trust them that that is their sole desire to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And so if you interpret anyone's behavior with that lens, then you can talk it through. Mm-hmm. If you truly believe that your hearts are united, mm-hmm. You can talk it through. And so that's how we lead. And it's just a super cool team to be part of.
I think it's really unique. I love leadership. I'm a student of leadership. And I think there are so many non-examples. Mm-hmm. And when we look at the senior leadership here at 518, you suggested that Jeff join the team, move here from very far away. And there's something interesting about suggesting someone that you know is so very different. You all aren't yes people yeah. to each other. You know what I mean?
You don't bring the organization from where it was 10 years ago to where it is today by being yes people to each other.
And good job people.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I think that is something that other organizations could think about. Does your senior leadership team always march the same way or row the same way, or are you gritty with each other? And mm-hmm. I think there's some grit there.
Oh, definitely. And again, if you truly believe that you're on the same page, that you share the same heart, then all the rest of it can always be talked through if you have that kind of level of trust. And so I know that people are starting to think about succession planning. And one of the things that we really want to do before we all start to transition to another season of life, which may be death for some of us, honestly. I mean, it's true, because I kind of want to work till I die. And so
mm-hmm. I can't imagine you not working.
I know, me either.
What would you do?
My husband would die.
What would Mark do?
That was what would happen. He would die. But I think that we really want to slowly replace ourselves with people who can have that trust level, and to not just say, okay, we're all leaving and you guys can come figure it out. But one at a time, how can we get people to that level with some of us as we transition, and be that part of who 518 always is, that will be part of our legacy to teach leadership that is so fiercely committed to a cause and to each other, to be better and to make the organization better by celebrating our differences and trusting each other.
Mm-hmm. So you have been the catalyst for 518 becoming the Care Portal implementing partner of Virginia. So what does it take to be an implementing partner of Care Portal?
So you need to be a Christ-honoring organization who believes that the church is the solution for children and families in crisis. And if you have those things going on, you could be all kinds of things. You don't necessarily have to be a 501c3. You don't have to be a nonprofit. You could just be a group of people who cares about that. We have a guy who moved from LA to South Carolina and started his own nonprofit because he wanted to do Care Portal, and there was no Care Portal in Myrtle Beach. So you can do that. And you have to have passion for the cause, and you have to see Care Portal as a way to help make your own mission successful, not mm-hmm. just as its own thing, because it never was intended to be. It was intended to always be supporting other organizations that were making a difference in the world, never to be the answer or a separate program. And some of that has evolved, but some of the most effective programs in the country are ones that are led by an organization who has a similar mission, who's partnering with Care Portal to make it happen. But the energy and the funding and the passion for it comes from the fact that Vision 30 and Care Portal have almost the exact same mission, right? Connecting the church to change the community. Their tagline is meaningful connections. Ours is meaningful relationships, right? Connection changes everything is their new tagline this year. And we talk about meaningful relationships being the secret sauce. Like, it's so, so similar that it's almost like we're married and moving forward. And as things ebb and flow with either of us, and that's a great implementing partner that can see the technology for what it's worth as it changes and improves. A whole bunch of innovation happens down there all the time. They're always getting better, always better. So learning that and how to apply it where you are, and then also being comfortable with us providing feedback to them as to what's working for us and what's not.
That's what I was going to say. You've, as the implementing partner, you've piloted things here like the Angel Tree Ministries, where You did a Herculean task, and now the rest of the country is thinking about how can you support incarcerated parents and children, and that fits into the reconciliation piece. Yeah, so definitely. how are you using Care Portal to reconcile? Can you talk a little bit about the 518 verse and the importance of reconciliation, both earthly and reconciliation with God? What does that mean to you?
So the word ministry, I think, is in that verse is more key to me than the word reconciliation, because I think it is the ministry that God has given each of us, that it is our job to connect people with him. That's the primary purpose of that verse. The main idea of that verse is that we have been reconciled to God. And so it's our job to go reconcile everyone we know to him. And that's our ministry, and it's been given to us. And it's almost a demonstration of our gratitude that God reconciled us to help us reconcile other people to him. I think it also, just the word reconciliation, whether it's tied to that verse or not, is all about how do we get people to reconcile the relationships that they have. But even with Care Portal, the whole idea that the church has to be the one that receives the contact information of the family. It doesn't go to, we have a role for everyone in the world in Care Portal that wants to be there, but the only person who gets the contact information of the family that's trusted with it has to be in a local church, because the idea is that church provides that community that allows people to be reconciled with God. You just mentioned the Angel Tree program. We started it in Lynchburg 2 Christmases ago and served about 100 kids. And then the second year across Virginia, we served about 600. And then this year we added other states and served over 1,000 kids. And they're children of incarcerated loved ones. And there's a story up near Rockbridge County of an African-American church that served one of these families. And the regional manager up there sent me a picture of the day that the family, the mom and the daughter of this incarcerated person, were getting baptized at this Black church up in Rockbridge, because they were part of Care Portal and they met this family and the family started coming to church. And then they were reconciled to God through this experience of a $25 gift that was requested by the loved one who was in jail. So those are the kind of things that, I mean, that's my heart. That's what I love. I love to see ordinary people, to use your phrase, doing ordinary things. It's not extraordinary to go buy somebody a gift card and take it to their house and say, Merry Christmas. Here's a note from your dad. Like, that is not Herculean, right? It's just an everyday thing that you can do.
It should be the norm.
It should be the norm. It should be what the church should always do. But that's a whole nother rant that I can go on for the full hours. We won't go there. What is the church supposed to be, and what does it mean to be the church? Boy, I can preach about that for a long time.
We'll have you back.
Yes.
You should.
Anything else we haven't asked you in this conversation about adopting, fostering, Care Portal?
Yes. One more thing. I'll end with it. Mm-hmm. This is about the adoption world. People ask me if I would do it again. It was hard. I kept most of the hard parts out of here because I want to respect my kids and I don't want to tell their stories. It's been the hardest, best thing I've ever done. And people ask, would you do it again? And I say yes, but not for the reasons that people think that I would say yes. I would do it again because I am a different person. Not because I necessarily think that I was an awesome mom, or that we did everything right, or there are things that I wouldn't change. I would change a lot of things if I could. But I am different because of my children. I remember the days before we adopted where I would see a kid who was 20 years old, whose parents wouldn't let him live at home. And I thought, what horrible parents that would they never do that to their child until we had to do that. Yeah. Or I would see, you know, a pregnant teenager, and I'd think, I wonder what kind of home she comes from. And so our daughter got pregnant. And then I realized, well, maybe it wasn't the parents' issue after all. Or there's all kinds of examples where I was judgy, and I knew right from wrong, and I knew black and white, and I knew who was a good person and who wasn't, and who should be welcome and who shouldn't be, and who belonged and who didn't. And through my children and their friends and their situations, I have just learned to broaden my scope of who belongs and who's part of me and who. We had a year where we had 3 8th grade boys. And so we decided, why not have another 8th grade boy? So one of their friends moved in for the year because he was having troubles with the stepdad. And he was one of my most compliant children, even though he wasn't mine. But it was just, we had this beautiful journey where we learned from our kids and became better. And Bart will say, when people ask him, he says, I started my adoption journey so that I could save children. But in the end, my children saved me. Hmm. And that's probably the synopsis of it is, we may not have changed their lives, but they completely broke us and mended us and helped us to become the people we are. And now we get the privilege of being part of their story and watching them create these loving homes for their kids, marrying the right people. We have awesome in-laws who've married our kids and who have wonderful families that are supporting them. And so to be at this point and to know that I thought I was stepping in to do this wonderful thing for people and realizing maybe everything that I did wasn't wonderful, but what they did for me was phenomenal.
Well, thank you for everything that you have done throughout your life and continue to do, and for being here for so long with us.
Well, it's been not perpetual, but often a very great joy.
Thank you for listening to the Mended Futures podcast, hosted by Allison Jordan and Taylor Melvin, produced by Liam Chafin, Sue England, Allison Jordan, Robert Day, Sully Jugar, and Taylor Melvin. You can find us on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to like, share, and subscribe to see more.